I really dreaded Lent. Lent was this dark, dismal, nasty time that was full of self-denial and self-hatred and self-loathing in a way that made me feel punished, in a way that made me feel like I was supposed to be terrible, because I was terrible. And that somehow I was supposed to feel bad about myself because God also thought that I was terrible. And in this time of Lent, we did things to make us feel terrible, right? On Ash Wednesday and on Good Friday, we fasted, so we were hungry and we felt bad and were cranky most of the time. On Fridays in Lent, we didn't eat meat, right? And then we were encouraged, it wasn't a requirement, but we were encouraged to give something up for Lent, right? So give up candy or going to the movies or watching a TV show that we liked. We were to give something up. And as a child, I understood that we were supposed to do these things so that every time we gave something up, we didn't have the meat, we didn't have the food, we didn't have the candy, we were supposed to experience sacrifice that would remind us that Jesus had sacrificed himself for us. Which to me translated to, it was my fault that Jesus died. Right? Because if I was somehow better, or if we collectively were not such terrible people, right, Jesus would not have had to die. Therefore, it's my fault. Right? Which really didn't make Lent this season that I was really looking forward to each year, right? It was this dismal, nasty thing. And the truth is, I never really bought it. Like, I never really believed that that stuff was true. I didn't really think that I was a terrible person, and I didn't really think that God thought I was a terrible person, and I didn't really think that God wanted me to walk around feeling bad all the time. And so when I finally moved out of my mother's house and didn't have her watching me all the time, I stopped doing all that stuff. And I never really replaced it with anything else. I still came, I'm still here, but I never really filled it in with any better ideas about what this space should be. And it was interesting this week as I was looking at the lectionary choices, because I was preaching, so I thought it'd be good to read the readings. I came across Psalm 103, which is in your little handout, which is the appointed psalm in the lectionary for Ash Wednesday. And I find it really interesting that this is the psalm for Ash Wednesday, because it starts like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This does not sound like the God of wrath and nastiness that thought I was a terrible person. We don't read a psalm on Ash Wednesday about a vengeful God who's going to smite us. We don't read a psalm on Ash Wednesday about how wicked and terrible we are. We read a psalm of praise on Ash Wednesday. We read a psalm that praises God for creating us, all of us, all that is within me, myself, my soul, my body. We sing a song of praise to a God who showers us with mercy and forgiveness, who heals us, who takes care of us, who satisfies our needs. We sing a song of praise on Ash Wednesday. Not to a God who despises us or who wants us to despise ourselves, but to a God who knows us and loves us and forgives us. And the psalm tells us that, you know, God seeks justice, but the God also doesn't hold a grudge. And so as I was thinking about that this week, I wondered if in standing in this place of praising God, we might find ourselves grateful. And if maybe Lent is not about fear and doom and dread, but is instead about gratitude. I mean, think about it. When you've been in conflict with someone you love, and they apologize to you, how do you feel? You feel relieved, you feel joy, you feel gratitude. And when I stop and stand in the moments of my life where I need to repent, in the places where I know that I'm not perfect, I can stand in Psalm 103 and remember the God who forgives me. And the gratitude that I feel for that is astounding. And so I began to then think about these Lenten disciplines, right? These traditional disciplines that we talk about in the church. And I wonder if in fasting, I stop and remember that day that on most other days, I'm not hungry. And in not eating meat on a Friday, I stop and remember all the really terrific food I get to eat every other day. And in giving something up, I stop in that moment and remember how full my life is of all the things I do get to have. And I began to think about how these things that we do in Lent are not meant to make us feel bad about ourselves, but are meant to cultivate a grateful heart. And so in a few minutes, I'll read the words from the prayer book that invite us all to a holy Lent. And you know, holy, it's kind of a tricky word. Right? It doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't mean godlike. It doesn't mean that you take your halo out of the drawer, put it on. Right? That's not what holy is. Holy means to set apart. And so I will invite you in these 40 days to set yourself apart in some way that helps you cultivate a grateful heart. Maybe you'll fast. Maybe you'll give something up. Maybe you'll spend time in prayer that you don't usually get to spend, or try some new prayer discipline. Maybe you'll go volunteer somewhere and spend your time serving others as a reminder of how much you have. Maybe you'll do something totally different. I had a friend last year who, when she was out shopping and out and about in the world, when she came across something that she wanted to buy but didn't need, right? Like that pair of shoes you find in Marshall's for $20 you don't really need but it's there and you could buy them, she didn't. But she noted in her notebook how much they cost. And at the end of Lent, she totaled up how much money she didn't spend and she gave that money to charity. And that's easy to do. I could do that by, you know, not buying lunch in the cafeteria at work every afternoon, right? If I just saved up what I spent on Starbucks in a month, that would be a sizable chunk, right? There are all kinds of ways to set ourselves apart, to stop in a moment and make a different choice that reminds us how grateful we are for all that we have. And so at this time, in this special time of year, I invite you, in whatever way makes sense for you, to cultivate for yourself a grateful heart. Amen.